Exodus, the 15th chapter, and I mentioned something in one of my sermons. I said, you've got to have, you must have preaching. I said, don't ever despise that. And I said, you must have teaching. We need it. And tonight you're going to receive some teaching. I'm going to do a little mini-series, and I told you back in December, maybe the latter part of December, I told you I was praying about something, trying to get the will of God on something. And so I finally got peace about it, and I'm actually going to be doing a series, and it's a mini-series, that I actually did it probably 14, 15 years ago, that I did this series here at the church. Course, things are never the same, you know how that goes. Kind of like when I went through Revelation back in 1995 and went into 96 by the time we got through with Revelation, and then did it again in the early 2000s, early to mid to no, as a matter of fact, it was 2008, actually, as a matter of fact, but went through Revelation again, and I was told that was different than it was the first time. You want to know why? Well, first of all, the person who's given it, you grow. You understand what I'm saying? You grow. And then they're just more material that you amass and ways of putting things in a certain way. And you'll understand the direction in which we're going because I want you to be rooted and grounded. And there's just a lot of error out there today. There really is. A lot of error. And it's sad, but a lot of error. And so by the grace of God, I want you to get settled in one area and understand what's going on in your own life, what could be going on in the lives of other people, and I don't want you to get rid of your money trying to get something that you can get for free. And I don't want you to feel like as if you're not a part of something great. You'll understand where I'm going in just a moment. Exodus chapter 15, notice verse 22 down through verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, notice verse 22 down through verse 26. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, tested them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Now it goes to the first person. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. God speaking, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm going to do a mini series on this subject, the myths of divine healing. The myths of divine healing. Now, you're going to have to listen to me closely because if you fade in and out, you may get off doctrinally, but you give me a good hearing. Because God will give us exactly what we need. I want you to understand some things concerning divine healing. Let's get some help tonight from our Heavenly Father. Father, thank you tonight for just allowing us to be here. Father, it's just a blessing. And Father, we know it's a little cold outside, but Father, you're in control of the weather. So Father, you know exactly what we need. But Father, you've blessed us here in America. Father, we're in a building with heat. Most of us will go to a car with heat, to a house with heat. Father, you've just been so good to us, and we just give you the praise for that. We thank you. Now, Father, I pray for just these few moments that we have that you would allow us our attention to really be focused in on your word. And Father, please give all of us teachable spirits so that we can receive what you would have for us and not go by what we've heard on television or what somebody in our family might say, but Father, what you say in your word. So Father, please help us now. Save any of this lost and help every believer in Jesus' name. Root us and ground us, please. Amen. One thing I like about the Bible that I hold in my hand, I love this book. By the way, I hope and I've been challenging you to read the Word of God. You ought not to just go throughout your day and not spend some time in this book. You've got to get in this book so that this book can get into you. That's a challenge. I like the book. It's a supernatural book. God has preserved His Word, and that's a miracle in itself. It's a very popular book. You may think that the Bible is not popular, but the Bible is still popular. It's still out there as a number one bestseller. I like the Bible. I like the Word of God. And one thing I can say about this Bible is that this Bible is a book of miracles. You go from the book of Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22. And all throughout the pages of the Word of God, you just see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. As I've read the Word of God and as you have read the Word of God, we've seen lepers that had no hope from man cleansed. As we've looked at this book, we've seen the eyes of those who were blind open. We've seen the ears of those that were deaf hearing once again. We've seen those who were dead raised back to life again. This book is nothing but a book of miracles because we have a miracle working God. And yet the greatest miracle that we have in the Word of God we'll celebrate here in just a few months, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because He came out of the grave, praise God, if the Lord tarries His coming and we don't go by way of the rapture, and our bodies are put into the ground, one day a miracle is going to take place, and these old bodies are coming out. We'll already be in heaven, but we're coming back, body and soul, be united to get our glorified bodies that we'll live with Him through all eternity for. It's a book of miracles. Here in our text, we have God referred to as in a certain way. He's called Jehovah, but it doesn't stop there. He's called Rapha. You see, I don't see that. Look with me again at the 26th verse of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, notice verse 26. It says, "And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandment, and keep all His statutes." Notice this, "I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord," that's Jehovah, "that healeth," that's Rapha. And then He makes it personal for us, thee. He said, "I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee." See, the waters of Marah, they were bitter, but God healed the waters. And by the way, He's still a healer today. Look with me at Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25. Look at Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25. It states, "And he shall serve the Lord, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water." Notice, "And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." God is saying, "Hey, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you." God is a healer. He's a healer. Psalm 41, don't turn there, but Psalm 41, verse number 3. Well, you know what? Go ahead and turn there. Look at Psalm 41 and notice verse number 3. Go ahead and turn there. Look at Psalm 41 and notice verse number 3. I'm telling you, God is a healer, because sometimes when you start off by saying the midst of divine healing, then you might think that I don't believe that God can heal. Oh, I believe God can heal. Matter of fact, I know He can heal. I'm not guessing at it. Notice Psalm 41 and notice verse number 3. It says, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. In other words, that means that God will restore him to health while he's on a sick bed. We have a God who can raise people up. Look at Psalm 103 and verse number 3. Look at Psalm 103 and notice verse number 3. Matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and read verse number 2, even though verse number 3 is where I want to draw something from. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. But it doesn't stop there. That's not a period. Notice. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Praise God for that. And who healeth all thy diseases. In other words, our God has the ability to heal any disease. There's no disease that God cannot heal. Man has not come up with the disease that God cannot heal. Why? Because he's Jehovah Rapha. Now, there are times when man can look at it and man can say, okay, there's no help, there's nothing we can do. But as my grandmother said, God has the last say so. And God can step right in and heal where man says healing cannot take place. Because our God is the God of the impossible. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, don't turn there. It says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Luke chapter 18, verse 27 states, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So now the question arises. Says God is a healer. He states it in his word. Does he heal miraculously today? In other words, can God heal people today? Oh, yes. You've already helped me out with a resounding yes. If that's his will. And by the way, let me let you on a little secret. It's usually God's will to heal. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Think about how many times God has healed you. It's usually his will to heal, but he doesn't always heal. In a lifetime, you're going to be healed of many diseases. You're going to be healed of many sicknesses that will come upon your life. He's going to heal you of cold. Pneumonias, pains, aches, diseases, illnesses, etc. Now, does it heal everybody all the time? No. And I give a resounding no. And I'm going to prove this in this miniseries and yet show you that God can heal at the same time. You say, preacher, why would you want to deal with a situation like this? Because healing and I hate to even put it this way, but the multi, and I'll even go down, the multi-million dollar business today of healing is running rampant. You've got people today who are, and have been for a while, who are emptying their bank accounts. They are sending money to people trying to get healing because they have been promised something from someone and they've been guaranteed it'll happen, but you can't do that. You've got people today who are disillusioned and some who are discouraged and some who are despondent and some who are upset at God or their circumstances because they haven't been healed. Because there's a lot of erroneous teaching out there concerning healing. And we need to get the proper view of healing. And I want to say this, don't you base your theology, and I say this often, but don't you base your theology on what everything that you see on television or what other people say. I had a man that I was arguing with on the phone one time. You know when it has gone from a discussion to an argument. And I was arguing with this man on the telephone. And I began to tell him about theology. And he said, I don't want to hear about that theology. We don't need to follow theology. I said, do you even know what theology is? He didn't. I said, it's just a word. It comes from two Greek words, theos, logos, theology. Logos, word. Theos, God. When we talk about theology, we're just talking about a word about God. So you don't want to know anything about God and what we're trying to tell you and doctrines in the word. And the problem was he was messed up in his doctrine, and I was trying to help him out. And oftentimes we base our theology, many do. I know many of you don't, but you've got to be able to prove your point. Because, excuse me, and I know to whom I'm preaching, but I've said this before and I'll say it again. Charismatic movement's running rampant today. It really is. It's running rampant today. And I've said this, I'm not the only one who feels it, that the charismatic movement has done more to hurt authentic Christianity than anything that the devil has ever done. And I'm willing to back that statement up. There are more people today that are confused, who think that they're doctrinally sound. And it is pathetic what's going on out there in the world today. And believe me, I know, because I deal with what I'm talking about. And so don't base your theology on what you see on television, because when a person is not rooted and grounded in the truth, they will suck up anything. And I've seen things on television that I said, how can they even grab a hold of that? How can somebody take hold of that? And it's like the more something sounds, or the greater something sounds like, wow, that's something. I told you before how I was listening to a couple on television. I can't think of the name now. He had his hair was just all the way Krauss. I don't even know if he's still alive or still around. I honestly don't know. But I remember how they had somebody on there one time, and they were talking about how they were over in the book of Revelation, and they were talking about how how three unclean spirits like frogs, you know, came out. You know the passage. And then they tried to tie it in and said, now wait a minute. They said, now Satan is the prince of the power of the air. They said, now, how do you go from being a frog, which, okay, I ain't got time to deal with that. Go being a frog to being the prince of the power of the air. He said, here's what it is. He said, you've got to kiss the frog. And everybody went, ooh, and people are in the congregation. I said, do you understand? That's a fairy tale. And they're like, ooh, wow, like he just said something deep and profound. It's amazing the things that are out there today. People gravitate. Oh, I've been to heaven. You understand? I got to set this up before I get in. If I only give you one point, I'll just give you one point tonight. But I've got to set up because I want you to understand. People going to heaven, say they're going to heaven. Kids, or a kid, adult, going to heaven. Jesse Duplantis. Talking about how he went to heaven. You remember some. I see all some of you shaking your head. Went to heaven. And that crazy nonsense that he was saying, that strikes at the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he walked in there one day and saw Jesus say it. And he said he had to try to cheer Jesus up. He must think he's some God. I feel like tearing something up right now. He must think he is some God. He's got to cheer Jesus up. He said he was riding his motorcycle. And by the way, I'm not telling you something that somebody told me. I heard him say it with my own ears. He said one time he was riding a motorcycle and Jesus was on the back of the motorcycle, scared. Talking about, whoa, Jesse, whoa. That's not my Savior. But people sit and they listen to that craziness and suck it up and think, that he is some kind of person on a plateau above everybody else. He's unsound and unbiblical, and there are many out there like that. You got the Jakes of this world who don't want some people to touch them because they don't want, because he doesn't want virtue to go out of him. Brother Terry, touch me all day. You can shake my hand. You can shake my hand. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not the Lord, and neither is he. And I think it's about time that we get biblically rooted and grounded and know exactly what we believe, because we have to be able to defend what we believe. I've been told you don't flow in the gifts. I flow in the gifts. You understand what I'm saying? I flow in the gifts. My gift comes from above. I don't have to invent one. You say, preacher, why are you saying this? Because I know people that run behind this stuff. People say a lot of things in the Bible. People say, come as you are. The Bible says that. That's not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible do you find, you find the verse, now I'll get up here and recant. I will. Find the Bible, find the verse where the Bible says, come as you are. If they ain't come to church any kind of way, the Bible says, come as you are. Okay, yeah. All right. Jesus said, you come unto him for salvation. But don't show me the Bible verse that says that. People say, well, you know, in the end times, the Bible says you won't be able to tell the summer from the winter. Where does it say that? That's not in the Bible. Matter of fact, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says just the opposite. All the seasons will continue. Somebody said, well, you know, God says in the Bible, if you take one step, I'll take two. Show me that in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. But how many of you have heard that? Slip your hand in the air. All right, see hands all over this building. That's not in the Bible. People say, well, the Bible said nobody can know. Had to save until they get to heaven. Nobody can know that. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus said in St. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to set us free. Give us the truth. Don't get upset at me because I preach the truth. I've been in this thing too long. I won't give you the truth, amen? And if you back me up, that's like pouring gasoline on a fire. So what are some of the myths of divine healing? I'm going to give you two tonight, maybe. That's all I'm going to give you, period. But I may only give you one, but I think I'll give you two. Number one, here's one myth, and that is all sickness comes from the devil. Okay, write that down. That's a myth. All sickness comes from the devil. Now, it's going to be a little different than what you're used to, because I'm going to give my point, and then I'm going to make some comments, and I'm going to give you some scripture. Now, they'll say things like, God would never put sickness on anyone. So if you're sick, God didn't put it on you, it was the devil. You know, the problem is we give the devil too much credit. Now, just in case you think that I'm up here making up things, and I could back up my points with more illustrations than we have time for. But I have something here. It's by Kenneth Hagin. How many of you ever heard of Kenneth Hagin? All right, Slippy, okay, all right, several of you. All right, Kenneth Hagin. Of course, you know, he's no longer living. But Kenneth Hagin, in his book entitled Seven Things You Should Know About Divine Healing, he states this on page 13. And here's what he said. It is God's will to heal you because sickness comes from Satan, not from God. And God doesn't want his children to have anything that belongs to Satan. God, he's stating, will never, ever put a sickness upon you. The devil is the only one who can do it. And I don't mean to be flippant about it, but isn't it kind of ironic? And by the way, I looked at some of this. He actually used scriptures taken out of context and not interpreted within the entire word of God and even within the text to try to prove his point. And that's what most people do. They take scriptures out of context. The Bible says no scripture is of any private interpretation. That means that you do not isolate a scripture and then formulate your doctrine on that scripture without it meshing with the entire word of God. And I'm not trying to be flippant or cruel, but the same one who said that, I'll just read it again, it's God's will to heal you because sickness comes from Satan, not from God, and God doesn't want his children to have anything that belongs to Satan, but yet he died of cardiovascular disease. In a heart attack. So something doesn't mesh there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So then we have to make sure that we get the proper teaching from the word of God. And there are times when God himself will put a disease on somebody. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And when I talked about the charismatic movement, I didn't say everybody in the charismatic movement was lost. I said it's hurt authentic Christianity. Damaged it. And by the way, anytime you elevate anything else above the word, you've got problems. I don't care who you are. Look at Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. We read it. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Notice this. I will put none of these diseases upon thee. That's what God is saying. Which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. God said there are times when he himself will put a disease upon somebody. It wasn't the devil who was putting disease upon the Egyptians. It wasn't. That was God. And I don't have time to go back and reteach all of that because we've been over there before, you know, just in a sermon, period. But each one of those plagues that God brought was literally a strike against an Egyptian god. Prove that he was the true and only God. But God says there are times when he will literally put something upon somebody. That's why God wants us to live holy and clean and right so that we can keep our relationship here right. Haven't you ever noticed that those people oftentimes who have an overemphasis on healing, those type of ministries that the people there always need, seem to need healing. You always got to have healing lines. You always got to have people running up. You always have people slaying in the, don't let me get on that one, amen, slaying in the spirit, which is a misnomer. Matter of fact, you don't find that anywhere in the Bible. You show me slaying in the spirit in the Bible. I mean, what I'm saying is that there are a lot of things out there that are not right. And by the grace of God, we need to have the balance so that we can understand what's transpiring in our nation and even in our own lives. And one thing that I have noticed is that normally in the soul-winning separated churches, people normally seem to be healthier. You're always going to have something going on in your body, but just seem to be healthier. I'm just telling you, just for I've been in this thing for 34 years. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not guessworking. And by the way, I studied with the charismatics for an entire year. That's in the early 80s, before I ever knew what they were, for an entire year. So I'm not guessing at some things. I know what I'm talking about. And then once I understood some things, I left them alone. That was a Bible study that was apart from the church where I was attending. By the way, that's why it's good to make sure you can't just go to any kind of Bible study. You understand what I'm saying? Got to eat from the right table. But God is telling them right here, he said, you live right, and God said, I won't put any of those diseases upon you. Now, like I said, you got to get the entire balance of the word, so you've got to listen closely. But he was telling them, if you don't live right, then he said, I can put some of those diseases upon you. You know, sometimes in life, you may wonder, is it really worth it for me to be as faithful as I am when I see other people who are not as faithful as I am? I mean, they seem to go and just keep going. They're not as faithful as I am. Well, the story hasn't been fully written yet. What you want to do is make sure you stay faithful and right with the Lord so that God's blessings can flow upon your life and he can touch you and work in your life. And when you get sick, he can make up your bed and your sicknesses a whole lot quicker than somebody who's not faithful and living right and walking right and talking right and doing right. So all sickness does not come from the devil. God does put sickness upon us if we are disobedient. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Look at Deuteronomy 32 and notice verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and notice verse 39. It says, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. He said, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. In other words, if God put the strike on you, it's on you. Okay, I know that's not going to get a lot of amens, but you understand what I'm saying. You get the picture. Okay, and so I'm not trying to take a shout, but I'm trying to let you know that God is a God who can put stuff on people. Notice with me that the Bible uses this pronoun over and over again in the 39th verse. I. Notice how many times I said that. Notice how many times it appeared in there. God is making it personal. God is saying, I will do this. I'm capable of doing this. We are padding the devil's resume. We really are. We're padding the devil's resume, because he's getting far more credit than what he deserves. I know that the devil can put things on people, but even when the devil put things on them, it's because God allows it. He's not out here just running rampant doing what he wants to do, because if that was the case, every last one of us in here, we'd drop dead right now if the devil had his way. He'd hit us with an aneurysm, a heart attack, or something if he had his way. But thank God he doesn't have his way. And we could look at other scriptures, but the Bible here teaches that God can put diseases upon people. He can do it. That's why, by the grace of God, we ought to live right and live clean and live holy and try to do the best that we can to keep a right relationship with him. Because, listen, when you serve and you do what's right and follow his word, God can take care of you. And I've seen it time and time again. I've seen people that God started the work on. I'm talking about man that looked like as if they just wasn't going to be healed, but then God started the move and God started the work, and then they begin to get, you know, feel good, and all of a sudden things begin to get better and get better and get better and get better. And then all of a sudden, when the health gets good, drop off, faithfulness lacks. And all of a sudden, things just go downhill. I'm telling you, God is nobody to play with. He isn't. He's nobody to play with. I've been in this thing for 34 years, being saved almost 35 years, month after next. And I could give you story after story after story after story after story. Thank God he can heal, and thank God he does heal. But we can't be running around here living like the devil and do what we want to and expecting God to heal us. And if God gives us strength, enough strength, then we ought to make sure that we are in his house doing what we're supposed to do while we have that strength so that he can strengthen us even more. That preacher, if you were sick, you wouldn't. I was sick for a whole year and managed the pulpit. I got out the hospital the day I got out of the hospital, I was preaching that night. I know God works. I know he works. Here's another myth, myth number two. And that is that all sickness is a direct consequence of sin. Or you're backslidden. That's what they say. They say if you're sick, then that means you're walking in disobedience to God. Remember how I told you, you've got to listen to the whole thing. They said, now, if you're sick, then that means you are either walking in disobedience or you don't have enough faith, and so that's why you are sick. God puts sickness upon us because we are disobedient sometimes, but then there are times when God will put sickness upon us when we have not been disobedient, and that does not go over very well when you're talking to some people. But there are times when God will put sickness upon us, but it's not a consequence of sin. Look with me in Job chapter 1. Look with me in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and notice verse number 1. Job chapter 1 and notice verse number 1. It said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, blameless, and upright, one that feared God and eschewed or shunned evil. That was Job's testimony. And by the way, that's God's testimony about Job. That's not Job bragging on himself. But now watch this. Notice verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Now Job was blameless. He was a man who was walking right before the Lord, shunning evil. But yet we know sickness came in his life. Notice verse 7 and verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. All right, the Lord said, well, have you considered him? Have you considered him? See, you think about this. Job was living right, doing right before God, but yet you know the story. And I don't have to read you everything that transpired in his life, but you know that Job literally had boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He was covered, and he sat down to ashes and scraped himself with a pot skirt. But God allowed the sickness to come in Job's life so that it could increase Job's faith and to help Job to know God better and to see him in a greater light for himself. Look at Job chapter 42, verse 1 down through verse number 6. Notice Job chapter 42 and notice verse 1 down through verse number 6. It says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Listen, when sickness came upon Job, he wasn't backslidden, nor did he suffer because He had sin in his life, nor did he suffer because he had a lack of faith. It was a test. And the devil said, he's only serving you because you're blessing him. He said, but you touch what he has, he'll curse you to your face. Then the next time he comes back, he said, you know something? He said, God says, Joel still retains integrity. Well, you know what? Skin for skin. All that a man has shall he give for his life. You let me touch him and see if he doesn't curse you. He was allowed to touch him. But the touch wasn't because that Job was backslidden or walking in disobedience. It was a test and allowed Job's faith to grow and for Job to see God in a greater light. Sometimes when you go through a time of sickness in your life, it will allow you to see God in a greater way. And you can believe in your life that God can do other things because you know what he's done in your own life and how he raised you up. If I say something like that and I know what I'm talking about, some will think, boy, I don't know what I'm talking about in the word, but I am telling you, there are times when God will allow sickness, and the Lord will put sickness upon us, but sometimes it is just a test to help our faith to grow. I remember we had an outing. I was just a young believer, and I remember how we had someone in our church who literally started an argument with our pastor publicly. I was just a young believer, and we were out at a gathering for the church gathering, cookout. And they started trying to tell our pastor, this is when the charismatic movement, like I said, was just coming in real good. It's been around for a while, but it really didn't begin to take off until the 1980s. And I remember how the early 1980s, and I remember when Kenneth Copeland stood up and he said, ladies, y'all just hang in there. Just give me enough time, he said, and I'll have you preaching. That's what he told them. I heard it with my own ears back around 1980, 81. I heard it with my own ears. And by the way, amen, it's changed, hasn't it? It's changed. Who knows, before long, we might have more women preachers than men preachers. Exactly. And they can get up there and yell and scream and carry on. And they could even think they got the right message, but it's the wrong messenger. You understand what I'm saying? God has a way. I know that's not the popular thing today. And I don't mean to bust your bubble if your channel's already set to watch Jake when you get home. I understand that. I don't mean to bust your bubble. I just want to make us biblical. Look at St. John chapter 11. Notice St. John chapter 11. St. John chapter 11. St. John chapter 11. And by the way, you know, if I say something, I'm not just trying to, you know, say something just to pretend to know something that I don't, or just to make you laugh, but I'm serious about it. Because I tell you something, when the devil attacks the church, it makes the church stronger. It does. You check it out in history. The church of Smyrna, when the devil attacked those believers, the church was purified. It was strong. Lord, have anything to say about it? Then when the church became elevated and it became popular to become a Christian, things began to change. And there's a lot of doctrinal error out there today, in this day and time, and people are following it by the multitudes because it's popular now. St. John chapter 11, notice verse 1 down through verse number 4. Watch this. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. In other words, Lazarus was allowed to get sick and die, but the Lord raised him up. Why? So that God could get some glory. Sometimes God would allow sickness to come in our lives so that he can get greater glory. And I heard people say, well, God can't get glory out of a sick body. God can get glory out of a believer who can give him glory in a sick body. Anybody can give him glory when everything is going good in their body. Anybody can give him glory when you can stand upright with no pain. Anybody can give him glory when you can sit down with no pain. Anybody can give him glory when you can lay down in the bed on anywhere you want to go with no pain. But when you have to turn on your left side and there's pain, turn on your right side and there's pain. When you stand up, it takes you longer to straighten up. When you sit down sometime, there's pain. You got sickness in your body. Hey, and you can still give God the praise, the glory, and go faithful. God can get glory out of your life. You're not some second-class citizen because you have sickness in your body. Only a believer knows what their relationship is with God, but there are times when God would allow some things to come in our lives so that he can get honor and glory. Look with me at St. John chapter 9. St. John chapter 9. Notice verse 1 down through verse number 4. St. John chapter 9. Notice verse 1 down through verse number 4. It says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Listen, this man was not blind because of sin. God was able to work through this man's life to prove the power and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there are times, as I said, when God will allow some things to take place in our lives. But even during those times, that does not mean that you have sin. For some it does, but that doesn't mean that you have sin or you're walking in disobedience. It could be so that the work of God could be made known and go forth, and Christ could be honored. Jack Treepers over in California has rheumatoid arthritis. Hits him real bad sometimes, but he's been pastoring that great church over there for a number of years now. And they have to bus people in from all over the place just to get them into the area where they are. Because land is so scarce out there. And they have to buy a house and tear it down before they can build something. And they don't pay a little money for it either. I'm saying sometimes you can have a sickness, but God can get glory out of your body, and Christ can be honored. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice verse 1 and verse number 2. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just because you are sick, that doesn't mean you're walking in disobedience. That's why I said you got to get the balance of it. Nor does it mean that you don't have faith. It could mean that, but that doesn't mean. That doesn't necessarily mean that it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice verse 1 and verse number 2 and verse number 7. Paul said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God know. If such a one caught up to the third heaven. That's Paul. Watch verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, he lets you know he was an individual, through the abundance of the revelations. All right, watch this. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, you know, many Bible scholars believe that this is some illness that Paul had, and we can debate, of course, about what the illness was, and I'm even going to do that tonight, just understand that Paul had this illness, if you take that view, and most do, firmness. Paul had this illness that came upon him, but it wasn't because he was walking in disobedience. It was to keep him humble, to keep him from self-exaltation, and to allow God's power to work in his life. And then Paul, you know something? I prayed about that thing three times. If he didn't have faith, he wouldn't have prayed and asked for it. But he believed. But he said, you know something? Once the Lord said no, I'm not going to heal you. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to glory. Amen. In my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, if your preacher stood up and said that, hey, listen, I've got an illness in my body, you know, like say I did several years ago, and but praise God, I'm giving God the glory for it. Some people would think that there's something wrong with you. You don't have enough faith. You ought to be down here crawling your face and asking God to heal you because you're not supposed to be sick. But yet the same ones, I've told you this time and time again, many of the same ones, they're wearing these eyeglasses. Do you know why you wear eyeglasses? Because your eyes are sick. And the same ones, you watch it now, the same ones who are telling you you're not supposed to be sick, and God, he, well, how come God, why are you still wearing them eyeglasses? They're wearing eyeglasses. You're wearing eyeglasses because God hadn't healed your eyes. I fought it for as long as I could, but God hadn't touched them. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at all y'all. Y'all a bunch of old folks. Everybody got their eyeglasses on. Well, not everybody, but you know what I'm saying? A number of you. See, you can't walk around and hold your head down like a second-class citizen because sickness and illness comes into your life. That's why you just keep your relationship right with God. When things come in your life, then you know, well, hey, this is just a test. It's going to be better for me. You know, something else good is going to happen. That's why we're in challenge. That's why you need to be in a good word church where you get the thing which tells you, hey, to live right and live clean and live godly. But no, not where it's okay to go to the club. It's okay to dance. And it's okay to drink as long as you don't get drunk. And it's okay to smoke and chew and do whatever you want to do. Hey, no, it's not that kind of, that's not the God that I serve. Our God is holy, and he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. When you can make movies that have profanity, semi-nudity on them, and call yourself a Christian, and you're walking right, you're not walking right with the Lord. I hope by the grace of God, and by the way, I'm saying that because I know people in the movement. That's what they do, and they call it being real to life. Being real to life is living right and holding clean before the Lord. As I close, there'll be times when God will put sickness on us because of our disobedience. But all sickness is not a result of sin. So what should we do? Live by the book, walk upright. If sickness comes, you trust Jehovah Rapha to heal you. Let's bow for prayer.